Welcome to a discussion of Pesach during times of peril. As Jews, as we suffer through the COVID virus crisis and so many people we hear about passing away and sick, and a lot of concern, we think about our whole history of times of peril. It's not the first time that we as Jews have faced peril and difficulties and challenges, and even the threat of death as Jews. So let's look at some other occasions. One of them were the problems of the blood libels. This notion that Christians accuse Jews of somehow using the Christian blood for our matzahs, I mean, the most outrageous thing. This accusation led to the destruction of many communities, as we'll discuss in a moment. And you can still see vestiges of this in our law today about Pesach. Generally, the Shulchan Aruch says, Mitzvah l'chazor achor ma'ayim odom. Generally, we should try to use red wine for the Seder. Why? We'll see in a minute. So the Ramah, already reflecting some of these problems, he says, well, if the white wine is better, then it's okay too. But the Taz, in the 17th century, one of the major commentators on the Code of Jewish Law, so he says, you should look for red wine, and he says there's a good reason for that. The Talmud says in Pesachim that Altiri quotes a verse from Mishlei, Altiri Yayin Ki Yis Adam. Don't look at the wine though it's red. So we see that redness is a part of what wine is, and he says the Tur, one of the great codes, says that the four cups should be red wine, even though Kiddush you could have white wine, but the four cups specifically. Why? Because it reminds us of the blood. What blood? Not the blood of the Gentiles, God forbid. It's the Jewish blood of the times when Pharaoh slaughtered Jewish children. We want to remember that blood, so that's why we have wine, not blood, but we have wine that's red. It reminds us of all the Jewish children who were killed in the days of Egypt. And he says, however, ha'idna nimnu likach yain, yain adam, today we don't do it. Where he lived, the Taz lived, he says, no, we don't. In Europe, in the 17th century, where he lived, we don't do it. Because of Alilot Shkarim, these false accusations against the Jews, a false libel against us. Libel is always false. It's false libel. But he throws in, Bavonetzer Rabim. Why do we have all these problems? We have problems because, traditionally, that's how you understand. If the Jews have a problem, it's because we've sinned. We need to do better. Again, post-Holocaust, I think we try to finesse that a little bit. We don't want to point any fingers, but it was generally traditional that if you had a problem, you say it's because of our many sins. That's what he writes here as well. The Bar Hetev came to summarize some of the commentaries on the Code of Jewish Law. He says, in those places where you have problems of blood libels, then you should don't take red wine, take white wine. Mishnah Brura says the same thing. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Shlomo Gansfried, 19th century, he says, this makes an editorial comment. In the countries where the nations are such fools and idiots to libel against us a false and a lie and a libel against us, in those places we don't take red wine. Shneir Zalman of Liadi, who was the founder of Chabad and the author of the great Tanya. He also was author of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, one of the summaries of the Code of Jewish Law, and it's a very well-done book. And there he says, Achshav Shemitzuyin Lalo, 1815 he dies. And he says, now that it's very likely, it's very common for people to accuse us of using Christian blood for something or other, who knows, to make matzahs or some ridiculous thing like that. Therefore, we do not take red wine. So already in 1815, he didn't want to do it. The Chafetz Chaim had a theory. Again, this is based on the idea that everything that befalls the Jewish people is because of something we did. So the Chafetz Chaim says, why do we have this terrible thing? Christians accuse us that we kill the children, we put the blood in the mouth. What kind of crazy thing is this? And why do we have this problem? And for centuries, from around the 12th century, 1200s, all the way through modern times, there are still people. Hanan Ashrawi has an organization, and their organization said that they can't believe that Barack Obama had a Seder. Don't they know about how the Jews killed the Christian children? Such nonsense, such ignorance, such hatred, such stupidity. And so the Chafetz Chaim says, why do we have this problem? We always have this problem. So he said that Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman, who was killed by the Nazis in the Holocaust, but he knew the Chafetz Chaim before he died in 33, and he said that blood libels come from our first blood libel. There was a Jewish blood libel that we were guilty for, and that's when we sold Joseph down to slavery. We took his coat, we dipped it in blood, and we asked Jacob, do you know whose coat is this? As if we didn't know. And it was terrible torture for our forefather, for Jacob, for our father. And for that, we suffer. That's why Gentiles accuse us of these terrible things. Mystically speaking, that's why they do it. We're not giving anyone permission to make these ridiculous accusations. Now, another ridiculous accusation was that we caused the Black Death or the Black Plague. Black Plague took place from April 1348 until about 2 years later. And it caused this tremendous accusation against the Jews. You see how today some people accuse the Chinese or the Jews of starting this business and of what we're suffering now. And they had the same thing then, and just picture in a more primitive medieval society, it was much uglier. He says that there was that they killed 40 Jews in their homes in Toulon, Provence. And there was a massacre in Basel, Switzerland, the great Switzerland. They're so neutral in Switzerland. They had a terrible massacre there as well. Aragon in Spain, 2,000 Jews were burnt alive on Valentine's Day. Some Jews celebrate Valentine's Day. After all, it's a general American holiday. You got to remember, Valentine's Day. 2,000 Jews were killed because it was Valentine's Day in Strasbourg in Germany. And they hadn't even been affected by the plague. They were immune to the plague at that point. And the people rummaged the ashes of the Jews to find spoils and gold. In 1349, in the spring, the Jews of Frankfurt am Main were annihilated. And in total, there were about 200 communities where people were destroyed. 3,000 people in Mainz were destroyed. Terrible kind of a thing, but it's interesting. Why do they accuse us? They accused us because they said the Jews didn't seem to suffer as much from the Black Plague. So why not? So the professor here at Vanderbilt, Martin Blaser, he says, well, maybe it was because the Jews got rid of their grain. So the storage house, they cleaned out the storage house. The storage house had rats. The rats breed a certain type of bacteria, a rat-borne scourge, the Yersinia pestis. And so since we didn't have these pests, so we didn't get the pestis, and therefore we didn't suffer as much from the Black Death. So it's an interesting connection to Pesach. The Maaseh Nisim is a story told several hundred years later that the Jews stood up for themselves. They heard that we were going to kill them, that we were going to be killed. So we stood up for ourselves, and we concealed knives, and we went, and we attacked our enemies. The only thing is, most historians believe that this is not true, just wishful thinking. But it's an interesting story of Jewish self-defense during the Black Plague. Jews suffering during difficult times of strange Pesachs. One was a story of a certain fellow named Meyer Levy of Philadelphia. He was in a Virginia town for Pesach, and he sees a boy eating matzah outside. So he says, hey, could I have a piece of your matzah? So the boy says to his mother, Mother, there's a damn Yankee Jew outside. So they came in, mother invited them in, and they had a Seder. So we've had strange Seders before as well. Also later, the Lincoln was killed around April 15th, it was around Pesach, and sermons were given comparing him to Moses, who didn't get to see the Promised Land, or at least to go to. It's interesting that if you look at the Yad Vashem website, you'll see that they have prepared many educational materials and pictures of people celebrating a Seder in the Warsaw Ghetto, people hiding a matzah factory in the Lodz Ghetto in 1943, that late. And we know tremendous efforts that were made. My son, his grandmother-in-law, Yaffa Eliach of blessed memory, she tells some beautiful stories about the Blujever Rebbe, one of the great Rebbes who survived the Holocaust. Two stories related to Pesach that go as follows. One is a story that when he came back from Europe, they welcomed him in New York and they let him give a big speech. And he gave a speech and he told the horrors that happened in the Holocaust. People weren't aware. You know, they could have been aware, but they weren't aware. And they were shocked. So he says, let me tell you something. When the Jews had the plague, the Gentiles, the Egyptians had the plague of blood. So if a Jew took a cup of water from the Nile, it was water. If a Gentile took it, it was blood. If a Jew gave a cup to the Egyptian, it was still blood. But if a Gentile paid for it, it would be water. So some Jews went into business. They'll sell his water to the Egyptians. But he said most Jews didn't do it. Because when there's blood flowing, you don't take money for it. So he says, so many rivers of blood flowed with Jewish blood. So if I speak about the Holocaust, I'm not going to take a dime for any such speech. And he didn't. Second story was the story of his own Seder at Bergen-Belsen. The one year they decided, Pesach is coming, maybe we'll make a petition, we'll put the rabbi's name at the top, that we want to have some matzah, the Jewish bread, for the holiday. We'll use the same rations, but we'll take the flour, we'll make matzah. So they gave the petition in, and the commandant, he said, let me send it to Germany, we'll let you know, to Berlin. So people were waiting and waiting, and they started to wonder, oh my goodness, what's going to be? We're going to get killed. Everybody on that list of people who petitioned for the matzah, they're going to kick us out and they'll kill us all. So this is crazy. One day they call in the Blujever Rebbe to the office. And sure enough, he says, we say you can have your Jewish bread. So they make a special oven and the Jews were terrified. They thought, any minute now he's going to change his mind. So they made the bread as fast as possible. And they made, sure enough, they didn't have Haggadah. They had the rabbi remember the Haggadah by heart. And he said the Haggadah. So he said, why is this night different from all other nights? Because another Pesach, there's matzah and there's mor. There's a bitterness and there's sweetness. But this night is kula mor. And most nights you have different things to eat. You have the matzah, the mor, different things. And you have matzah. This night, the only thing they had, they didn't have bitter herbs. They just had the matzah. Nothing else. Kula mor, it's completely mor. Completely matzah, nothing else. He says, what about the bitter herbs? He says, we don't need bitter herbs. This year, there's only bitterness, so we don't need the bitter herbs. I wouldn't say that about this year, but surely some people may feel that way, and I can understand that as well. What are some rituals that one could do during the time of the plagues? I heard that this has been circulating. My friend Eddie Reichman, this rabbi and a doctor, he put out this thing there was a 16th century physician, Avraham Yagel, and he thought that we should use the story of Aaron. What did Aaron do? There was a plague after the Jews angered God with the story of Korach. So it was a terrible plague. So people started to die. So he took the incense and he went around the community with it and people stopped dying. So we see that somehow the incense has some effect. So maybe we should read the incense. And in fact, he quotes that the Ari says this as well. Now, some say today that we should be saying Avinu Malkeinu. It's a debate between Moshe Lichtenstein, Rav Shul Schechter, the Eidah Haredis. Some say the Hallel. Some say we should say Avinu Malkeinu during Nisan. Some say we shouldn't. But what would we say? Say the whole Avinu Malkeinu. I saw in Italy in the 1700s, they had a plague, and they said just the Avinu Malkeinu that relate to plagues and the like. Finally, I wanted to share with you some thoughts of how the Tzor Hamor, the great rabbi who escaped first the expulsion from Spain, then the persecution in Portugal 4 years later, where they forcibly converted the Jews, but he escaped, and then how he has roamed around in great sorrow in North Africa, and he writes the following. He says, In some of the stories at the beginning of our history, where the Torah begins to tell us the laws of Pesach in the future, it doesn't mention Maror. It says that one day you'll have a Seder, and you'll have Matzah, and you'll have the Korban Pesach. It doesn't mention Maror. Why not? It doesn't mention the bitter herbs. So he says, because in the future, they won't need the Maror, because the Maror is an allusion to exile, and they'll be in exile. When you're in exile, you're not going to need the maror, as the Blue Shiva Rebbe said. But why do we have maror? After all, there is maror. We want to remember that even when times are good, you'll have the future, people will be in Israel, you still have the maror. So remember, we need to follow the Torah, and that hopefully nothing bad will happen, but we have to follow the Torah. In fact, in Egypt, people would die for no reason. People would say, why did that guy die? Why did that guy beat him to death? What happened here? And similarly today, people are asking, why is this person dying? But he says, once we went out of Egypt, then we would stop dying, and even eating this harmful food known as maror, the bitter herbs, the chrein, we still wouldn't die, to show that God was now on our side very much. The Bietzetzner Rebbe in the Warsaw ghetto, he gave drushas until finally he perished and it was taken away. And it's very inspiring what the Eish Kodesh, what he wrote in this book called, which later people called the Eish Kodesh, the Holy Fire. So he says, there's a strange pasuk in Parshas Vayira. Pasuk says, verse says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, Hotzias b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. That God commanded the Jewish people to take the Jews out of Egypt. How can you command the Jews to take the Jews out? What is it talking about? What is it talking about? Beginning of Parshas Vayira. So he says, I'll tell you what it's talking about. God commanded the Jews that even though you're in Egypt, from now on, you're free. That from now on, I'm commanding you that from now on, everything's going to be through mercy. And now on, the slavery's over. And the Jews began to sing songs, both in Thanksgiving, that even though we're in Egypt, we're getting out, it's over. And number two, to prepare for the songs they'd be singing with their full redemption. And he says, so too for the future generations. They sang, God prepared, he commanded the Jewish people, sing now for the ultimate redemption. He told them in the Warsaw ghetto, get ready, sing now. I'm telling you, you're a long time ago they prepared the road that even in the slavery of Egypt, we're getting out. We will eventually leave. And we begin now, we begin to hope right now. Says that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that God should remember Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why? Because he says when the Jews are suffering, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are suffering literally in their grave, so to speak. So Moshe turns to God and he says, please, don't let the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our forefathers, don't let them suffer in their graves. So he says, so too nowadays, God can save us. So he says as follows. He says, just as God, Moshe prayed that the Jews should be saved then, so may God save us now from our current sorrows. And then we'll be able to worship God, not out of the great trouble we're having in the Warsaw ghetto, the terrible deprivation and degradation, but we'll be able to worship God out of a sense of luxury and everything else. So we as Jews have a long history. And as people with a long history, we have a long history of how to deal with sorrows. And we've dealt with the Black Plague. We've dealt with blood libels against us. And we've modified some of our practices to make sure that these things don't happen. Each generation, we deal with the various challenges. We had to have white wine, we have white wine. And the Torah Mor dealt with his problems and his expulsion from Spain. And the Bietzetzner dealt with the worst of all, the Warsaw Ghetto leading to the Holocaust, through the Holocaust, and he was able to see that there's somehow a commandment that even in the slavery, you can begin to hope. As a matter of fact, the Blue Shiva told the people, Avadim Hayinu, we were Avadim. The acrostic of Avadim is also the same as David ben Yishai Avdecha Meshichacha. If you move it around, it's Avadim. The same letters. David, son of Jesse, who is your servant, the Mashiach, it's the same letters as Avadim. So even in the slavery, even in the Warsaw Ghetto, even in Bergen-Belsen, they're ready. Is David ben Yishai, the Mashiach, is coming through, and a Jew can continue to hope, because the Jew knows that Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, that we were commanded that we were going to take the Jews out of Egypt. We're getting out. We're going. And no matter what the situation is, a Jew lives with that hope, lives with that promise, and with that, we can endure through any difficult time. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth Lamed congregation of the Shabbos HaGadol. Join us each week for the discussion of the Parsha and the holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, who continues these difficult circumstances to produce our videos. Thank you.